tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
To the Hope Show today, and I'm so happy that each of you could join me on this day. It has been yet another very blessed week, but yet a busy week. Let's just jump right in now to today's message. Today we are going to be talking about second chances. You know, one of the best gifts in life are second chances. If you're lucky enough to get a second chance, don't waste it. We don't always get those second chances in life for all the missed opportunities in our life or the things in which we blunder up the first time. Through your lifetime, I'm sure there will be second chances for each of us for something, but it may not be the second chance we had hoped for. It may be a second chance at something else, but not what we had hoped for. But it may be something else, you know, that we messed up in our life. But don't be afraid to love or to put yourself out there, because life is too short to live with regrets. Open your heart to trust people, because even though you may get hurt in the end, it's a risk worth taking. The memories that you create will last a lifetime, and the happiness you receive from that relationship is just too precious to have missed out on. Did you know that every day you wake up is a second chance at life? It most certainly is. Second chances don't always guarantee us a happy ending, though sometimes it will be the very best second chance you will ever get. But second chances are sometimes just another shot to do something else or to do it right. Whether you're the one needing a second chance or someone else, everyone deserves a second chance. Whatever the circumstances are, remember that what I just said, you know, that everybody deserves a second chance, you know. Be willing to forgive somebody. and forget and move on, move forward. I found a little quotation that I think is just about the most amazing way that you could look at life. It says, "Life is not a journey with the goal of arriving quietly and safely in one pristine piece, but a chance to twist the throttle until it sticks full open, to leap over, slide under, or hammer through the obstacles, to look fear in the eye, backhand it in the head, to skid, slip, or stumble across the finish line, out of gas, out of breath, covered in dirt and sweat and blood, with a smile on your face and free from regrets." Isn't that amazing? The Bible tells us that without God we can do nothing, but with God everything is possible through He that strengthens us. Praise God that He allows us to make U-turns in our life. Praise God. Isn't that something to be thankful for? Why is it that sometimes we humans can mess things up so badly? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Man, how did I mess that up so bad? Folks, it's because we are human. We make mistakes. Most of us have good intentions, but that doesn't always count. And sometimes we have help in making a mess out of our life as well. Sometimes things fail, and later on, we're given a second chance because we simply weren't ready for whatever it was that we wanted the first time. We think we are, but God always knows best, and He will work things out for your greater good. Sometimes second chances work out better than first chances simply because you've learned more from your mistakes. Can I get an amen out of that? Amen. So if you think you have messed something up in your life and you're having regrets, look to God for your guidance and your comfort, and know that not all things that fail are all bad. Though it may seem that way right now, they are not all bad. Just you wait and see. Something way better than you had ever imagined will come along. It may not be instantly. You may have to wait a while. But I am certain that something, someday, will come along far better if you pray on it, be patient, and wait for God's perfect timing. We are not in control, folks, but God is. Think of it this way. If something fails the first time and you get a second chance, then give it your all, because there is a reason God put you there again. Don't take second chances for granted. Make the very, very most of them. Try to make sure that you don't make the same mistake a second time around. To mess up a first chance is an honest mistake. But folks, to mess up a second chance in the same way is no longer a mistake. That's just foolishness. The first time something fails, shame on the circumstances. The second time something fails in the same way, shame on you. A second chance doesn't mean anything if you waste it and you didn't learn anything from the first mistake. I believe in second chances for everyone. But if you don't learn anything from the first or the second or maybe even the third, you know, maybe it's like giving the person a gun with a bullet. Maybe the third time they're going to shoot their foot off. Unfortunately, some people don't learn. And they do keep repeating the same mistakes in life. It becomes a habitual, vicious pattern that some people can't seem to break free from. It's very disheartening to see this quality in folks. First chances sometimes will fizzle out, derail, sometimes so quickly you wonder if you even had that first chance. If you do succeed the first time, sometimes you may think it was purely by luck. But folks, the first truth about any chance at all is that it rarely happens by chance or luck. Rest assured, whether you are a believer or a non-believer, there is a higher power at work in each of our lives. Pure luck will only take you so far. Actually, only perhaps a very, very short distance. And the rest is in God's hands. The outcome of your first or second chance has already been pre-planned by the Master Creator before you were even born. Your life history was already written before you even got here. So don't be so boastful of yourself to think that you did everything by yourself. Oh no, you are not alone. And you most definitely are not in control, folks. So many folks out there fool themselves by thinking, I got this, I got this. You don't got this. God has it. We all go through big changes throughout our lives that are all more or less second chances. To be given an opportunity for a second chance should challenge each and every one of you to work even harder so that you will succeed. So tell me, what are some of your personal opinions about second chances? Do you think people deserve a second chance? Do all people deserve a second chance? Or just a few that fit into certain categories or have certain circumstances? It would be very interesting to hear all of my listening audience's views on this. Before you answer these questions, though, stop to consider yourself and the number of times that you have made mistakes. For we all fall short of the glory of God. Do you think you deserve a second chance? And what makes you any different from your fellow brother or sister? The Bible tells us, forget their sins and remember them no more. We are called to forgive and move forward. Do not judge, lest ye be judged with the same measure that we use towards someone else. Yikes! How harshly do you think that we would be judged by God based on the measure of judgment we use on other people? We don't want to think about that, do we, folks? But you need to. Sometimes, based on our circumstances, we make poor decisions. But that does not make us bad people, not worthy of forgiveness or another chance to right our wrongful ways. God's grace is sufficient for us. God's grace is sufficient for us. Pay it forward to another brother or sister. Heaven knows we don't always deserve God's grace or mercy, but yet He freely gives it to us anyway, every single day. It's impossible to know what goes through a person's mind when they make choices. It is generous and kind of each of us to remember this and to try to keep an open mind toward ourselves and toward others. Sometimes showing that grace and mercy for someone else is the most wise and mature gesture or gift that you can give another human being. Does this same rule apply to hardened criminals, such as murderers, rapists, etc.? Should these people also be given a second chance? My humanly nature, struggles with this question. The human part of me says no. But what if they were sentenced fairly? What if we could actually have faith in the system to do their job properly? What if they went through rehabilitation? What if we could be 100% sure that they had changed their life? Could they be trusted back into society, to find work, to live among us? What if, what if, what if? I don't have any answers for this one other than what my humanly flesh says, which I don't necessarily believe can be relied upon for good judgment or right decisions in such cases. It is not for me to judge these folks. That's God's job. So I will leave it at that. I'll leave you to your own opinion on that question, and I'll leave the rest to God and His decision. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when I return, we will talk more about second chances.
Driving home one evening in his beat-up Pontiac, when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the snow, till he said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name's Joe." She said, "I'm from St. Louis, and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you." When he changed the tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, "How much do I owe you?" Here's what he had to say: "You don't owe me a thing. Too. And someone wants to help me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, a few miles down the road, lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and then be on her way. But she couldn't help but notice how the waitress smiled so sweet, and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. And though she didn't know her story, and she probably never will, when the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door, and on a napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote. "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone wants to help me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, "Everything's gonna be alright. I love you, Joe."
come home. I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone.
I never said you had to offer me a second chance.
I still belong.
Back, audience. I hope you enjoy the songs on the break, some little uplifting, get you motivated kind of songs. And if you're just tuning in, today's topic is second chances. Some of the best gifts in life are second chances. If you're lucky enough to get a second chance, don't waste it. We don't always get those second chances in life. How many of you can attest to that? Throughout your lifetime, I'm sure there will be second chances for each and every one of us, you know, for something. It may not be the second chance that you're looking for, but one day you'll get a second chance for something. Did you know that every day is a second chance? Yes. Think about that for a moment. Every day is a fresh new beginning. What will you make of your fresh new beginning today? As I said earlier, there are no guarantees that second chances will end with a happy ending. But if we are given the opportunity of a second chance at anything in life, take it. We should jump right on it and do our very, very best. Take relationships for an example. People are not always what you want them to be. Sometimes they will disappoint you or let you down, but you have to give them a chance first. Doesn't everyone, including you, deserve that first chance and maybe even a second chance? You can't just meet someone and expect them to be everything you're looking for and then be angry when they are not your every hope or aspiration that you had projected upon them. A lot of marriages fall into problems in that category. How many of you out there who have had more than one marriage, and I'm not promoting that, but it happens. How many of you out there, maybe if you're honest with yourself, you know, went into marriage and you projected onto somebody else, you know, your hopes and your aspirations, and then once you were married for a little while, it's like, ugh, this is not what I'd hoped for. Well, it's foolish to believe that someone will be what you imagined them to be. Sometimes when you give them a chance, though, they turn out to be even better than you could have ever hoped for. What a blessing. I believe a lot of people in relationships make this mistake. They project their ideal image of a perfect person or mate onto someone, and then they are very disappointed when the opposite sex doesn't live up to that expectation. You see a lot of these same issues in marriages, as I said before. People think that if they are currently having problems with their significant other, that once they get married, that will fix everything. That somehow they can change that other person. Fellow brothers and sisters, you can't fix or change anyone who isn't willing to be fixed or changed. And then, it only works out if the other person truly wants to make change in their life. Maybe these people are happy just being who they are. But don't ever fall under the false illusion that once you get married to someone that the license will fix everything and your marriage will turn out into this fairy tale perfect marriage, because it won't. And if you think that, you're setting yourself up to fail. Chances are way more probable that the issues you had in your relationship before your marriage will only get worse in intensity after you get married if you have that mindset that, oh, it'll be okay, I'll fix them, because you won't. But enough said about that. I want to add some other things that perhaps will provide food for thought for you. Everyone has a perspective on life. Everyone's perspective in life is different. But if you were faced with some challenge in your life, and you had only 5 months to live, would you experience those very same problems of your first or second chances differently? I'm sure that all of us would probably say, yes, you would change some things and make some things differently. Look back on some of the things in your life that have gone sour. If at during that time you found out that you only had a few months left to live, would you have done anything differently? And if so, what would you have done differently? That is some pretty profound thinking, folks. What did you come up with? And another thing I want to add to this is something that I put in one of my previous shows, but it's well worth mentioning again, as we are on the topic of second chances. There is a lady by the name of Sharon Alder that put out an article pertaining to her 17 years of life experience as being a hospice nurse. And she writes, Top 10 Deathbed Regrets. The first one, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself and not the life that other people expected of me. That's regret number one. Number two, I wish I took time to be with my children more when they were growing up. How many of us wish that now, even halfway through our lives? Regret number three, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings without the fear of being rejected or unpopular. Regret number four, I wish I would have stayed in touch with friends and family more. Number five, I wish I would have forgiven someone when I had the chance. Six, I wish I would have told the people I love the most how very important they are to me. Seven, I wish I would have had more confidence and tried more things instead of being afraid of looking like a fool. Number eight, I wish I would have done more to make an impact in this world. Number nine, I wish I would have experienced more instead of settling for a boring life filled with routine, mediocrity, and apathy. And number ten, I wish I would have pursued my talents and my gifts. I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break right now, and I'm going to be right back to you. Hold on just a second.
taking chances, but they're worth taking. Loving might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Welcome back, folks. Sorry for that unexpected interruption. I had a visitor at the front door, and so I needed to catch that real quick. But before this break, I was talking about the 10 regrets that people have on their deathbed. And fellow brothers and sisters, you don't want to live your life at the end of it having one or more of these regrets. Live life one moment at a time. Cherish every moment you have. If first chances don't pan out so well for you, then perhaps there will be a second chance. And if so, you better grab on tight and hold on. Because don't let those second chances get away from you. And if you get a second chance, give it your 150% of all your effort so that you can look back and be at peace that you gave it your all. If your second chance involves a relationship, sometimes you have to, in a second chance like that, sometimes you have to give forgiveness, you know? Forgiveness is not for the weak. Being able to forgive someone who has wronged you is a mark of spiritual strength and confidence. When you forgive, you grow. Your heart begins to heal. Your back straightens up. Your eyes clear up so that you can focus on the road ahead. Folks, anger is a spiritual sickness. But when you learn to truly forgive someone, then you can truly begin to live. Isn't that amazing? We must forgive others just as God has forgiven us. God has placed people in our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. But in each relationship, we learn something very valuable about life lessons. Life doesn't come with guarantees. Life doesn't come with no timeouts. You just have to live life to the fullest in that moment. Laugh as much as you can. Tell someone what they mean to you. Dance in the rain. Hold someone's hand. Comfort a friend. Fall asleep watching the sun come up. Smile until your face hurts. But whatever you do, don't be afraid to take chances. But most importantly, live in the moment, because every second counts, and every moment you spend angry or upset is a second chance at happiness that you can never get back, folks. You can never get back that moment. You decide every moment of every day who you are and what you're going to believe in today and what you're going to do with your life today, right now, in the moment. You get a chance every single day, God willing. It's called tomorrow. I'm not giving up. Tell yourself this when you wake up in the morning. If you're down in the dumps or whatever, even if you're not down in the dumps, think to yourself and tell yourself each and every morning when your feet hit the floor, today I'm not giving up. I'm just starting over today. Sometimes all you need is a redo, so to speak. A little poem I found reads like this. Can we start over? Can we be strangers again? Let me introduce myself. Can we laugh and talk and relearn all that we already know and come up with new inside jokes and create new memories and give each other a second chance? Isn't that so beautiful? How many of you wish you could do this with someone special in your life? In some cases, if it were only that easy, right? But Proverbs 20:30 states that sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. And that is so true. I think of my own life. I think of some of the paths that I chose. And clearly, if I had not have experienced some of those painful lessons that I did, I would not turn from the path I was on. I can guarantee you that. I probably would have kept going down the wrong path and even found myself in more trouble than before. So I thank God every single day for those painful experiences and for God always being right by my side and never forsaking me. And for all the second, third, fourth, and fifth chances he gave me. Amen. In some cases, there's even more chances than that. Far, far, far more than I ever deserved. And yes, I clearly see what I was talking about earlier in my show. That sometimes my attempts fail because I wasn't ready yet for whatever I was attempting. And you know what? Praise God for that too. Praise God that God knew me better and knew what I needed better than I knew myself. And the first attempt failed. And sometimes I got a second attempt. And it worked. And I was ready for it. Sometimes I was sent back to that place later on in life. And upon the second chance, I succeeded. Well, not really, because I can do nothing without God who strengthens me. But you know what I mean. So at this time, we're back on track again, and this would have been the break that I played the song earlier. So we're back on track now, and I want to go ahead and play another song for you, just a real quick one, and then we'll be back on track. So here's one more song, and we'll be back to the message.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now. The pain is gone.
Sorry about the dead air time there, folks. I was looking something up. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, today's topic is second chances. Some of the best gifts in life, as I said earlier, are second chances. If you are lucky enough to get a second chance in life, don't waste it. Grab it. Take hold of it. And do your very, very best to get it right. So, I want to review some of the highlights from today's show for a moment, and then I have a motivational speaker that I want you to listen to. He has some great stuff to share with all of you. Did you know that every day is a second chance? It most certainly is. Second chances don't always guarantee us a happy ending, though sometimes it'll be the best second chance you ever had. But second chances are sometimes just another shot to do something else, and to do it right. I found this little quotation that I read to you earlier in the show, and I think it's a pretty amazing way to look at life. If only we had this amazing view on life, it would be awesome. It says, "Life is not a journey with a goal to arrive quietly and safely in one pristine peace, but a chance to twist the throttle until it sticks full open, to leap over, slide under, or hammer through the obstacles, to look fear in the eye and backhand it in the head, to skid, slip, or stumble across the finish line, out of gas, out of breath, covered in dirt, sweat, and blood, with a smile on your face and free from regrets." Whew! I love that! Man, that just gets my motor running. It gets me motivated. The Bible tells us without God we can do nothing, but with God everything is possible through He that strengthens us. Praise God that He allows us to make U-turns. Can I hear a loud and resounding amen? But we have to remember this too. We are not in control of our lives. God is. Think of it this way. If something fails the first time, and you get a second chance, then give it your all. Give it your very best, because there is a reason that God put you there a second time. Maybe you weren't ready for it the first time. Just have faith, and God will give you the answer. Maybe you weren't ready. Maybe with time and additional wisdom and life lessons, the second time you will be ready. There is a reason that all things happen as they do. And it's not always for us to know the reason. Just have faith that God is at the helm of your life and you're going to be okay. And with all that said, I want to remind you that a few hours after this Hope Show has been aired, if you've missed any part of that show, then, you know, or you want to just have a friend listen to it, please link over to my podcast page, Hope for Beverly, on www.shazizradio.com and listen to the entire message or share it with a friend. At this time, I want you to listen to another song, and then I want you to listen to Greg Denning while he talks about life is hard, but be great anyway. Hope you enjoy this, folks.
I'm Greg Denning, and that's my macaw screeching in the background. I just wanted to share some thoughts. I've gotten some emails from you recently, some comments, a few conversations I've had with a few of you that I'm mentoring. You know, life can be really tough. And I just wanted to acknowledge that. I wanted to let you know that I know it can be hard to stay in shape. And if you're out of shape, man, it can be really hard to get back in shape. It can be hard to stay positive. It's hard sometimes to be happy. It's so easy to just kind of get in a rut and get in a slump. And it's so, you know, it requires effort to have a good posture, and it's so easy just to slump over and take that slumped over attitude. I mean, so many of us are just walking through with our heads down. It can be hard. I understand that. It's hard to keep going when there's trials and challenges and obstacles. You know, growth is uncomfortable. There's strain, there's struggle, there's hurt. You know, trying to get up to those goals. But here's one thing I don't want us to ever do. Okay? Here's a dangerous temptation. From somewhere out in the universe comes sneaking into our head this idea of, well, it's hard for me. I'm the exception. Those other people, they're lucky. They're just that way. They've got this gift or they've got that gift, but not me. You don't understand where I'm coming from. No, you don't know what it's like. It's hard for me. And we want to be, the temptation there is we want to be the exception. We want to throw this little pity party and say, well, you don't understand. I can't do it because of, and we come up with these excuses and this justification, this rationalization. That's a very dangerous place to be in. And I don't want any of you ever to go there. I'm like this always. I'm always happy. I'm always smiling. I'm always optimistic. I don't have an on-air personality and an off-air personality. I don't put on a smile for the camera. What you see is what you get. I'm jovial. I'm happy. I love life. I have tons of energy. I got enough energy for 10 guys. And I live like this. I'm like this all the time. People who know me and have been around me, they know. I wake up excited. I'm excited. I'm going. This is how I live. But I wasn't born like this. It didn't come naturally for me. I earned it. And it was hard. You see, I know about hard things. You wouldn't believe me because of who I've become, but I was shy. I was reclusive. I grew up in a broken home. You know my story. I was out on my own at an early age. Tough years. Hard times. I struggled. I couldn't talk to people. I didn't want to talk to people. I was terrified. If you told me I'd been in front of this camera, you're out of your mind. I'm never getting in front of a camera. I'm not talking to a crowd. I couldn't speak, especially to girls, you know, and just went around in hurt. And I was depressed. And I was desperate. And I was angry at the world. And I struggled. And my world was dark and gloomy. Right? I know how hard it is. I know it hurts. And so I earned it. I had to make it happen. I had to change my personality. But that's the great news. You and I, we have the power to shape our character and our personality to who we want to become. And I'm happy like this all the time. Not that it was easy for me, not that it came naturally, but that I earned it. And like Emerson taught, you know, the more we persist in doing something, the easier it becomes for us. Not that the nature of the thing changes, but that our power to do is increased. And then we have that ability to do whatever we want. Right? I wake up happy. I'm excited about life. Trials come along and I say, bring it on. Right? You don't let those obstacles get in your way, and the world gets dark and dreary and filthy, and I don't get pessimistic. I'm an optimist, but I've earned it. I want you to know, I know it's hard. I've been there, right? I push myself. I pay a price to stay in great fitness and great health, right? To keep a smile on your face all the time. This isn't fake. This isn't phony. It's not an act. And I was like, come on, put on a show for your kids. That is who I am. But I've earned it. I've paid the price to gain the qualities that I want in my life. And I keep paying the price so I can maintain those qualities and have an excellent standard of living that I want to have and to become the kind of person I want to become. So how do you do it? Well, in my case, with God's help, with a lot of great books and some really tough, uncomfortable, and intense experiences, I was able to shape my life. I'm still doing it today because I want to be better. I'm not at my very best yet. I know I still have more to reach my potential, and I'm going for it with zeal and excitement, and I'm paying a price. And I'm doing what it takes. I know it's hard to get up early in the morning, but I do it anyways. It's not natural for me. It's not something I, oh, woohoo, yay, I can wake up. No, I decide. You know, it's hard. Yeah, my head wants to stay on my pillow. I say, no, there's a better life. And I get up and I decide to be excited about it. And I decide to be optimistic about it. And when an obstacle comes or a challenge, I decide to face it head on and say, I'm ready for a challenge. Bring on the challenge because I'm going to grow and I'm going to come out of this better. Right? So you can shape your life just like you can shape your muscles in your body. You can shape your character. You can shape your mental habits, right? Your endophasia. You can shape your reading habits, your morning routine. That's all in your power. And very often where the pain is, that's where the power is. If you're hurting somewhere in your life, you can resolve. You can decide to instead of making an excuse of, well, you don't understand, it's hard for me. I do understand, and it was hard for me too, but you can do it. That's what I want to tell you. If I can do it, you can totally do it, right? You have that power. You have that potential, but just decide. Yeah, it is hard. It is tough, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to go after it because I want more. I deserve more. I can gain more. I can earn more. I can have more, right? You can have and become whatever you want to become. The choice is yours. It's not going to be easy, but man, is it worth it. And it gets easier as you persist in being consistent and doing the things you want to do, in thinking the thoughts you want to think, in gaining the habits that you want to drive your life, right? Those habits can either be, you can be a slave to them, or they can be your best friend and most empowering ally. Earn those habits. Pay that price. Change your mindset and your attitude. Yeah, it is tough. I acknowledge that. I know it's hard. And some things that may come easier to me may be harder for you, and vice versa. Some things may be really easy for you that I struggle with. I understand that. But that's no excuse. Just because it's difficult, that gives us no out, no excuse. We go forward anyway. So don't ever say, well, that's just the way I am. That's bogus. Throw that thing out the window. Get it in the trash can where it belongs. You can reshape your life. You can shape your personality, your character. You can recreate every part of your life. You have the power to take every important aspect and characteristic of your life and shape it into greatness. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting? You have the power to become who you want to become. So decide to be really happy, really optimistic, have really great relationships. Guys, I'm not phony. You're not going to hear from me in several months saying, hey, you know, I'm going to come out now. And guess what? Really, honestly, I struggle with depression. My marriage is falling apart, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we're hearing this all over the place. Oh, yeah, I won all those awards, but I was on drugs and steroids. Oh, yeah, hey, have a great marriage. Actually, my marriage just fell apart because I committed adultery. We're getting blah, blah, blah. It's not fake, it's not phony. You can shape a true life. So fill your mind and your soul and your spirit and your body and your whole life with happiness. Feed on it until it becomes a part of you. Right? Every morning, get up and read inspiration and motivation and optimism. Remove any negativity and pessimism from your life. Get pessimistic people and news and garbage and junk and movies and music. Get it out of your life. And it'll shape you. It'll change you. And it'll change your nature. And then people will say, well, you're just so naturally happy and optimistic. You're so enthusiastic and energetic. Oh, you're so lucky. Yeah, have you been like that your whole life? I get that all the time. No, I earned this. And you can too. Reach upward. Clearly identify who you want to become and how you want to live, and start making it happen today.
Everyone, I found it to be very motivational and inspirational, and just his energy is just so incredible. And I hope all of you out there enjoyed it as much as I did. Chances are worth taking, folks. Risks are worth taking. How will you grow? How will you know what you are capable of? How will you know that you've fully experienced life if you don't take some chances? Our God is a God of second chances, folks. Each tomorrow that God blesses us with is a new day, a new beginning, a fresh start. Praise God. God doesn't give you strength to get back up on your feet so that you can run right back to the same thing that knocked you down in the first place. No. God gives you another day for a clean slate to start all over again. Move forward, not backward. Praise the Lord for second chances and for His strength that is able to carry us through the difficult times. In Job 33:29, the Bible tells us that God gives each of us chance after chance. Isn't that amazing? Wow! Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace that covers all my sins and forgives me when I don't even deserve any of it. Have you ever heard the saying, in this house we do second chances, we do real, we do grace, we do mistakes, we do I'm sorry, we do hugs, we do family, and we do love. I love this so much. And if any of you know our family personally, you know that our house, we do all of these things. My hope and prayer is that all of you have this in your homes as well. Some of you listening in today's show may feel all washed up and nowhere to go. Maybe you feel completely spent, thinking there will be no chances for you, no second chances in your future. But I have great news for you, folks. Raise your chin up and listen carefully. In Micah 7:8, we are reminded that even though we may fall, we will rise again. Even though we may fall, we are promised that we will rise again. Even if you have fallen 7 times, God will help you back up again, help you to get back on your feet again. No one, not one single person, is too far gone, too messed up, out of chances, or chalked up as a loss for God. God has not counted even one of you out. And in fact, He has a plan to redeem every fall and make it work for your greater good. So don't give up on yourself, because God has not given up on you, and He never, ever, ever will. Keep in mind, for some of you, for every circumstance is different, unique, and individual. There may come a time when you have to choose between turning a page in your life or closing that book forever. Sometimes you may be called to just move on without someone or something. Your life will be different, but good different. Sometimes you have to choose your own happiness and allow no one or nothing to take that away from you. You have to take a stand for yourself. If you listen quietly and intently, God's voice will whisper, will signal you that it's time to move on, to give yourself a second chance to do or be something else that will bring you far more joy than you ever thought possible to enjoy. Life, God, works in oftentimes very mysterious ways. Are you listening for that voice? Or are you still trying to do everything on your own, rushing through life like a bull in a china closet? If you are a bull in a china closet, I want to ask you, how well is that technique working for you right now? How well is that technique working? If you say to me, it's not, perhaps it's time to regroup, to rethink your life, put your priorities in check, and ask yourself, where could I make some changes in my life? Remember, every day is a second chance. Every second of the day is a second chance to turn your life around and do something else. It's never written in stone that you have to stay stuck on the same road, the same path, if it isn't working for you. And sometimes, goodbye is that second chance. However, when you get second chances, part of that process is taking responsibility for what you did wrong the first time. I know. Ouch. Ouch, that hurts. That isn't what any of us want to hear. But I would be lying to you folks if I wasn't completely honest with you. Granted, it is not always our fault why things fail. But we have to be willing and ready to take responsibility for our part in things when and if we did play a part in our own failure. That is all I'm saying. But you know what? We can choose to be happy right where we're at, right now, in this very moment. That's another wonderful thing about our life. We have choices. We can choose to be happy with our life, or we can choose to be miserable. I have a few poems I want to share with you, and this first one is called True Joy. I'll be happy once I've done this certain thing. We all say this often, not realizing what it brings. We look only to the future for our happiness, letting life slip through our fingers in its fullness. We really feel complete when the task is done, or look back and see, or will we be really happy or complete when the task is done, or look back and see how we missed so much fun? Self-consumed, so we can't see anything else, hurting those we love as well as ourselves. So many things around us to be grateful for. When seeking an answer, willingly open the door. So often others see what's right in front of our face, but we are too blind to look as we are snared in the race. What is this life supposed to be about? Is it money, fortune, fame, or a big house? When speaking to a dying man on his deathbed, none of these answers are what he said. Family, love, laughter, God are what we should seek. These are the precious things that are right outside our door. Folks, every day of our life brings a new test, a new lesson for each and every one of us. With each new day brings new challenges, new circumstances, new problems. Sometimes it's your strength that is tested, and some days it's your wisdom. Maybe you're currently under siege of the enemy. Maybe you're currently being tested. Maybe you are near to throwing in the faith and hope towel. Maybe you're barely holding on to your faith. Are your worries consuming you? I strongly encourage you to go before God, give your cares to the Lord, lay them all down at His feet. Have a heart-to-heart talk with God, because He already knows how you're feeling. He already knows what you're thinking. So nothing that you say to God will come as any great surprise. He knows your heart and your every thought. He knows you better than you know yourself. Tell Him your sorrows. He is a faithful Father, and He cares what you're going through. You may not think you are important, but in God's eyes, you are very, very valuable to Him. Confess any sins you may have committed. Ask His forgiveness. Pray for strength, wisdom, and guidance from Him. Ask Him to help you survive the storms in your life. The Bible tells us to ask, seek, and receive. Knock and the door will be opened. All you have to do is believe. In Matthew 6:25 and 26, the Bible tells us, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, or reap, or store away in barns, yet the heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his or her life?" And skipping on down to the 33rd and 34th verse in Matthew 6, it says, "But first seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." I'm going to go ahead and stop and take another break right now and play you a few more songs. So, hope you enjoy these, and I shall return shortly. Okay, well, let me just go ahead and play another one here. Let me find another song. For some reason, this one's not playing. So, hold on for just one moment while I do a search. I am so sorry about this, guys. About there. Okay, here we go.
There's a girl in the corner with tear stains on her eyes. From the places she's wandered and the shame she can't hide, she says, "How did I get here? I'm not who I once was, and I'm crippled by the fear that I've fallen too far to love. But don't you know who you are? What has been done for you? Yeah, don't you know who you are? You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade." Well, she tries to believe it, that she's been given new life. Oh, but she can't shake the feeling, well, that it's not true to you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You are more than the choices that you've made. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. You are more than the problems you create. You've been remade. You've been remade. You've been remade. You've been remade. You've been remade.
Welcome back after the break, folks. I hope you've had a very blessed day so far. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in with me to the Hope Show today. You are all such a huge blessing to me. And if you're just tuning in today, we have been talking about second chances. I've said this several times throughout today's message, but it's something I want you to remember, that some of the best gifts in life are second chances. If you are lucky enough to get a second chance, then take it, folks. Take it. And don't waste it. First chances sometimes fizzle out. They derail. Sometimes they're so quick that you wonder if you even had that first chance. If something fails the first time and you get a second chance, then give it your all, because there is a reason that God put you there again. Don't take second chances for granted. Sometimes the first attempt fails because you're really not ready for whatever that was just yet. You may think you are, but God knows differently. Trust in God to have your very best all planned out for you. Things may not go according to your plan, and if not, God has something far better for you waiting. Don't fret. Just wait and trust in the Lord and see what He has in store for you. Maybe you're just being too impatient. I have been guilty of that many times in my own life. I didn't want to have to wait. I wanted whatever it was now, not later. But life doesn't always go the way we plan for ourselves. All the reminder that we are not in control. And it's not on our timing, but God's perfect timing. Here are some more words of wisdom for you. What's done is done. Stop looking in the past, because you're not going in that direction, folks. We can't turn back the clock of time. Good or bad, right or wrong, it is done. It's over. Yesterday is gone. Once the ingredients are mixed, we cannot separate them. Once a word goes from our mouth, we cannot take them back. Once we do an action, we cannot choose another one in its place. Once wood is reduced to sawdust, you can't make it back into wood. Once today arrives, it becomes too late to live in yesterday. Despite the fact that no one can deny the obvious of these statements, it is not uncommon for many of us to still try to rework yesterday. A lot of people seem to be stuck in the if-onlys and woulda, coulda, shouldas. Folks, yesterday prevents you from fully living for today. Guilt, regret, and hindsight actually make you wiser whether you want to believe that or not. But some people find it so very difficult, if not impossible, to forgive themselves for not knowing better in the first place. Instead of being so hard on yourself and remaining paralyzed in your past, why not give yourself another chance? Let me give you some second chance checklists. Number one, think about doing these things. Turn unproductive regrets into productive regrets. Believe it or not, regrets are important and they do have a purpose in our life. It serves the purpose of helping us to self-correct. The key is to recover the regrets and look for the lessons to be learned. Take comfort that these lessons, in the end, make us a wiser human being. Number two, take comfort that regrets help us develop empathy for other people. How would you ever develop empathy if you never made a mistake, you never made a wrong turn? Thus, when we make a mistake, we become better people, more qualified, more compassionate, more kind in helping someone else. Number three, the more wrong turns you make in life, you increase the odds that your future choices will be more informed. Believe it or not, all the lessons from the mistakes or the regrets will put you in a better shape to move on. It can actually make it easier for you to be happier by living for today instead of yesterday. I know some of you are probably thinking right about now that I must be a genius. Laughing to myself when I think of that, because I admit, for a moment I had thought that very same thought. For all the wrong turns that I've made in my life, you know, I must be a genius by now. An expert on the subject. But no, not really. Number four, ask yourself, did I do my very best at that time? Most likely your answer will be yes. People generally try to do their best, even if their best at that time isn't so good. People don't set out with the intent to purposely fail. Let it be some kind of consolation to you right now that unhealthy people make unhealthy choices and behave in unhealthy ways. We've all been there and done that. And I know I can't be the only one out there in the whole listening audience. We've all been there. Your decisions are only as healthy as you are at that particular moment in your life. And if you did your best at that time, then stop kicking yourself so hard, folks. Consider it noble that you tried, even if it turned out poorly. Number five, moving from regret brings you opportunity to work on self-forgiveness. A lack of forgiveness for oneself or others is one of the most common reasons for depression, anxiety, and interpersonal relationship conflict. Regrets give you the opportunity to self-correct and develop the ability to forgive yourself and others. It brings everything right to the surface so that you can work on it. Try to be thankful for this golden opportunity instead of bitter and full of negativity. And number six, use the broken pieces of unfulfilled dreams and disappointments as a stepping stone toward a better future. If you can do this, if you can see your brokenness as a stepping stone, or better yet, think of your brokenness as a beautiful life mosaic. You can grow to appreciate the broken remnants of your life. All your disappointments, no matter how big or small, can be turned around to create something so beautiful that you can't even imagine. And that can pave the way for a better tomorrow for you. You just have to keep your chin up, face front forward, and keep moving in that forward direction. Folks, none of us can change what's happened to us, but we can change what we do with what's happened to us. So what are you waiting for? Step out in faith and give yourself that second chance, or give someone else that second chance. You deserve a second chance, and so do others. I'm going to finish up this last half hour of my show with a segment on doubt, Friend of Fear, by Joyce Myers. You know, it's a little maybe off the subject that we're on today, but doubt is fear. And I believe sometimes that when you make a mistake on your first chance, perhaps there's fear or doubt involved in your mind. Maybe that's what stopped you. Maybe that's why whatever you were trying to do failed. And so I want to kind of tie this segment in from Joyce Myers about doubt, Friend of Fear. I hope you will enjoy what I am about to share with you. I am a huge fan of Joyce Myers. And so I want to go ahead and play this for you. Let me find it. Let me see how I can do this real quick.
Fear has torment. And I think it's pretty safe to say that fear just really brings torment.
Okay, hold on, guys. I'm trying to get this
into our lives. And, you know, just because somebody doesn't act like they're afraid or doesn't say they're afraid, that doesn't mean that they're not. You know, insecurity is fear. And I don't meet very many people, if I know them very long, that I don't see some insecurity, including myself. So we all just have to keep growing in faith, because faith is the only thing that overcomes fear. Fear is not going to go away. I think one of the greatest revelations that I received from my own life about fear is when God says, "Fear not," He's not telling us not to feel fear. He's telling us, when you feel fear, don't run. Keep going forward and doing what I've told you to do. Because the word fear means to take flight or to run away. That's why in Hebrews 10 it says, do not shrink back in fear. When fear comes, we start backing off. We start running back. When the Israelites became afraid out in the wilderness, they would run back to Egypt. You're going to have fear in your life. You're going to feel fear. You may shake. You may feel nervous. But that doesn't mean that you can't do what God has asked you to do. I was thinking about my own life and just made a little list of some of the really scary times in my life just involving this journey. And people that you see that are even to any degree successful have had to face fear. Because fear comes against everybody. You're not a coward because you feel fear. It's when we give into it. We have to understand that fear is not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us the Holy Spirit to keep us in bondage to fear, but to deliver us from fear. But you will never be free from fear if you don't stand up to it. It's very important to me that you understand tonight that fear is a feeling that in all probability will never completely disappear in your life. But you can learn to do it afraid. You can do it afraid. When God told Joshua, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, that have I already given unto you. He was talking about him continuing the job that Moses started of leading the Israelites into the promised land. Out of bondage in Egypt, into the promised land. Now we've been talking about this all weekend, how God calls us out of something and into something, but there's always a middle. And it's middle where we make it or break it. And let me tell you something. There's plenty of enemies in the middle that can seem pretty scary. And everybody goes through the same thing. You may go through a different flavor of it. You may go through a different version of it. But everybody goes through some of the same stuff. We have to learn how to trust God and trust God totally and completely. We talked about timing this morning. Trusting God's timing. And understanding that if He doesn't do what He could do when He could do it, that He has a good reason. In Exodus 13, 17, I believe it is, the Bible says that even though there was a shorter route, God led the Israelites by way of the Red Sea. Now that's very important. If there was a shorter route, an easier route, and if God is a loving God who loves us, then why does He take us the hard way? Has anybody ever wondered that? We all wonder that. And in Exodus 13, 17, it says that He did that because He knew they were not ready for war. See, we think that the promised land comes without enemies, but it doesn't. They had hardship in the wilderness, but when they got into the promised land, they had real enemies. I'll tell you one thing. When I was a housewife in Fenton, Missouri, going to garage sales and interior decorating parties, Nobody wrote my name up in the newspaper and told lies about me. Never happened to me when I was a housewife in Fenton, just kind of minding my own business. That only happened to me when I got promoted. I'm trying to tell you something. You're asking God for stuff, but with it will come more enemies. New level, new devil. And I'm not trying to scare you, I'm just telling you the truth. I quit my job to begin to prepare for a ministry that was only in my heart. You know, maybe ministry's not your thing, but there's something that's in your heart that you want to do, even if it's get your house cleaned up or something. Get out of debt, you know. Something. There's something we all want to do, hopefully, besides just sit and go, duh. And God only knows how scared I was. I was scared. I mean, frightened. Because the way I was raised, nobody really did anything for me. So at an early age, I started working and taking care of myself. Well, God wanted to break that off of me. He didn't want me taking care of myself. He wanted me totally dependent on Him. I'm reading a book by John Eldridge right now, and I understand what he's talking about. He's just talking about how God deals with us, and he said he was very independent and, you know, wanted to do everything himself and hard to lean on people. And he said he fell and broke both of his wrists at the same time. So here you have this very independent person that now cannot tie their shoes or zip their pants up, I guess. And it's interesting how God ultimately gets His way in our life. Did God break both of His arms? No, I don't believe so. But our own stubbornness will get us in trouble sometimes, and God will use it to break the stuff off of us that He wants broken off of us. So I was very independent, especially where it came to provision and wanting to make my own money, so I knew that I had enough. And I was one of those ones that liked an emergency fund. And every year Dave would get a Christmas bonus at work, and I think back then it amounted to maybe, I don't know, $1,200 or something. And I mean, that was our extra money for the year, and boy, we would put that in the savings account, and invariably stuff would start happening to take it. Flat tire, refrigerator breaks, dishwasher breaks. Come on, I get a witness out there. And the more of it that would disappear, the more concerned and worried and anxious I would get. And I would get so mad. Dave would just almost dread to tell me that he had a bald tire and needed to buy a tire, because I would just be like, not again, every time I turn around the devil's taking everything we've got. I remember Dave looking at me one day and he said, until you stop leaning on that money in the bank, God is never going to prosper us. Because you're not trusting God, you're trusting that bank account. I wanted to slap him upside the head. And how many of you know when we get mad at somebody when they're telling us the truth, it's because we know they're right and we don't want to hear it? I was so scared when I quit that job. I remember walking down the hall, and I was so frightened that my knees gave way. And I remember what the Lord put in my heart. He said, you can spend the rest of your life trying to take care of yourself. Now somebody here needs to listen to me tonight. You can spend the rest of your life trying to take care of yourself, or you can learn how to really trust me and let me show you what it's like to be taken care of by God. And you know, those were very hard years, but they were wonderful years. Well, we saw the faithfulness of God. Every month we were short of being able to pay our bills, and every month God came through. We didn't have a lot of extra stuff, but I kind of feel like the Israelites did when they were out in the wilderness, and the Bible says that their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes didn't get old. For 40 years they didn't get a new outfit, but what they had lasted. God can do some strange miracles. When I quit my job at the church to start this ministry, I was so scared. God said, go north, south, east, and west. I didn't know anybody north, south, east, and west. So I went to North St. Louis, East St. Louis, West St. Louis, and South St. Louis. I mean, he said, come like a little child. So I just went to each corner of my city and had a meeting once a month. So scared. The first time that I did a speaking engagement that was of any size at all, I accidentally got invited because a speaker canceled at the last minute because they were sick. And my son happened to know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody. It was one of those deals. Gave them a set of teaching tapes I had on fear. And they liked what they heard and said, well, let's have her come and do one of the workshops. We're missing a speaker for the workshop. It's in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'll never forget it. And I was just one of the workshop speakers, not one of the main speakers. But we were all sitting on the front row, and everybody on Friday night that was going to do a workshop that was supposed to come up here and tell everybody a little bit about what their workshop was going to be about so people could select which workshop they wanted to go to. And sitting down here in the front row was Reverend and Doctor and Reverend and Doctor and Joyce from Fenton. And I had, oh man, I felt like the lowest worm in the building. They told us, you know, if we had any teaching tapes or books, we could bring them. And everybody else brought, a lot of speakers didn't bring nothing, and some of them just brought a couple little things like this. And I had this real big vision for these resources, because when God called me into ministry, he said, you're going to have a large outreach ministry through books and teaching tapes. And so we had this huge, long, like 8-foot table piled up full of stuff, and people are going by it saying, who's that? You ever heard of her? Anybody ever heard of her? You know who she is? I don't know who she is. Boy, she sure brought a lot of stuff. Wonder what she thinks she's going to do with it. You know? I'm like, And right before I got to that meeting, I'd done something in Colorado, and I was supposed to be doing something with a well-known speaker who canceled at the last minute, and we would have had a crowd if he would have been there. But since he wasn't there and there was only me, we didn't have much of a crowd because nobody knew who I was. So I left that thing feeling like a real failure and went to this thing in Jacksonville. And on Friday night, I got up and there's 900 people out there, which looked like 9 million to me. And I don't even know how to tell you how scared I was. I was so scared that I opened my mouth to tell them what my workshop was going to be about, and all that would come out of me was a squeak. Seriously, I went, And I'm telling you, the devil's screaming in my ear, you better go back to Fenton where you belong and stay there. Who do you think you are? God has called you. Ha, ha, ha. You saw what happened in Colorado. Now look at the fool you're making out of yourself. Look at Rev and Doctor and Rev and Rev and Doctor and Bishop and Joyce. You got to press through those times. You got to press through those times. When fear is screaming at you, you don't have what it takes. Does the enemy ever tell you, you just don't have what it takes to try for that promotion at work? Or to do anything else? And I had a choice to make. I either had to try one more time and hope to God something came out that time, or if I would have done what I felt like it, I would have just ran off. Well, thankfully, I got my mouth open. I told him I was going to preach out of Galatians 3, 1 through 3. I remember it, works of the flesh. Can't change yourself by works. It's only by grace. Next day, my workshop, there were so many people there, they were hanging out the doors. And when the workshop was out, they converged on that little tape table. And all you could see was Dave's arm. Was just... They bought everything and would have bought the tablecloth if we would have sold it. Well, you know how it is when you press in long enough, and you know you've been like, man, you You've started out with Jesus to cross over to the other side, and you're like, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. You just keep nothing's happening. And then all of a sudden you get a breakthrough. It's like, wow! Woo! 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 It works. And God gives us those, doesn't He? Just about when we think we can't take it anymore, then something great happens. And gives us that courage that we need to press on. But you know, it's just very important to me that you understand that I'm not just up here tonight talking about something that I don't know anything about. I know what it's like to feel afraid. You know, I come across very bold, and I am very bold when I'm functioning in my gift. But when I'm not functioning in my gift, there's times when I experience the same kind of stuff that you do. We have to do it by faith. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? So you have to do it afraid. Do it afraid. I came to a point in my life where God told me that I had to go confront my father who sexually abused me. And I'd kind of stuffed that away in a neat little package and just ignored it, walked away from it, had never confronted him. We just, when we were around family, we'd just act like nothing ever happened, and I was so uncomfortable and so miserable. And God just told me, you're going to need to go confront him. I was shaking so hard I couldn't hardly talk, but it was a big breakthrough for me. You can't run from stuff. You have to confront stuff. Now, just because God told me to do that, if you've been abused, that doesn't mean you have to do that. But whatever it is God tells you to do, you do have to do what God tells you to do. And we can't keep using the excuse, well, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. Everybody is afraid. If you're going to step out and do anything that God tells you to do, you're going to have to step out in faith. I want to talk to you tonight about doubt, and I believe doubt is the friend of fear. And I want to specifically talk to you a lot about self-doubt, which is all the fears that we have about ourselves. And I want to talk to you first about a little shepherd boy who faced his fears and became a king. He didn't have very many people rooting for him, but God was on his side. And my Bible says, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God is on my side, whom shall I fear? Now I'm going to recommend to you that later you read 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. I cannot take the time to read it all tonight, but I am going to turn there, and I'm just going to have them put just a few scriptures up so you can relate a little bit to this story about King David. First of all, Saul had been disobedient. The anointing had lifted off of him, and God sent Samuel out to anoint a new king. And he told him to go to the house of Jesse, and that when he saw which one of Jesse's sons it was that was to be anointed to be the next king, that he would recognize it. He would know it in his spirit. Well, the interesting thing, and this is in chapter 16, the first few verses, when Samuel went and Jesse began to bring out his sons, he brought out the best looking, the tallest, the eldest, and Samuel just knew none of them was right. None of them was right. None of them was right. He said, don't you have any other sons? Well, there was one that they thought so little of, they didn't even bother to bring him in to be looked at. You think you've been slighted in your life? How do you think that would make you feel? How does it make people feel when they're not even considered for the promotion at work? When they're totally left out? I don't know what it was, what kind of status it was or wasn't to be a shepherd boy, but it probably wasn't the greatest. He was alone a lot, away from home a lot. But out there in those fields, he played his musical instruments, and he wrote a lot of what we now read as the Psalms, and he certainly learned a lot about God, how to face his enemies and how to face fear, and he got to know God really well. And so even though his family didn't apparently think that much of him, God had his eye on David. And I just really feel like the Lord wants me to tell some people here tonight that No matter who's against you, God is for you. And no matter how little people think of you, God has a high opinion of you and a good plan for your life. And chances are, He has a better opinion of you than you have of yourself. So I want you to forget what everybody else thinks of you or don't think of you, or how they ignore you or slight you, and just remember that God has got His eye on you. I said, God's got His eye on you.
Okay. Well, welcome back, and I want to thank you for listening to The Hope Show today, and I hope you've enjoyed the Joyce Myers clip as much as I did. It's been a pleasure doing this show today, and I hope you have learned something about second chances. And I just want to finish up by, and I hope you've learned something about doubts and fears, too. I hope this show today has been a blessing to you. And I just want to say, before I close up out of here, that until we meet again, next Saturday, same time, same place, may God bless each and every one of you this week. I love you guys with all my heart. And I'm going to play you up out of here with Oceans.
Trust is without borders.